Returning in the scripture to Judges chapter 16, we commend to you the chapters that deal with Samson, this judge who missed out with the Lord, missed out with God tragically. And so therefore you'll want to read from chapter 13 right through to the end of chapter 16 and get the full history of Samson. We've been concentrating our thoughts in the final chapter that deals with him, which is chapter 16. And last week we began a message that we want to continue with today, a man missing out with God, taking for our text the same verses 20 and 21 of Judges 16. And she, that is Delilah, said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Let us pray. Lord, there is a sense of grief, lamentation, when we read verses like this, when we see a man of God coming to such an end, that such things could be written of him. The finger of God wrote these things. The Spirit of God put them into the record so that we might have them and learn from his mistakes, learn from his life. We pray for a settling down of our mind, for our hearts to be inclined to the Lord in the Word. We pray you'll grant us the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God, moving in our hearts this day, speaking to us, challenging us, teaching us the things that we need to know, bringing counsel, all its wise counsel when it's from the Lord, that we might take heed to ourselves. So bless us now in the Word and help us to bring the message. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been considering a man who made decisions that brought him down, 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 until he could go no further down. His life ended in moral and spiritual shipwreck. We pondered the word down that is associated with Samson's life. The last down that we read about him is in our text in verse 21. The Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza, bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. I want to reflect upon those downward decisions that he took, the steps that brought him down. He fell in love with an ungodly woman. If you go back to chapter 14 and notice verse 1, Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. If you look at the next verse, we see that he stopped confiding in his parents who loved him. We take verse 2 and verse 6 together, and I want to come back to Samson one more time in the will of God, and maybe look at these things a bit more closely. But in verse 2, he told his father and his mother. You want to mark that phrase. He shares with them about this woman that he had met, had seen in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. But look at verse 6. The second part of it tells us he told not his father or his mother what he had done. We shall come to see next time that this was a great mistake. He begins at the start here confiding in his parents, and now he's not telling them what's going on, and therefore he has deprived himself from their wise counsel. It was a downward step that he took. Then he went places and he touched things as a Nazarite that he should never have gone or never have touched. And we think of the vineyard, he went down there. We think of the corpse of the lion that he should never have touched. But let's come to this final chapter, chapter 16. He's in love again, completely infatuated with another unconverted woman, Delilah by name. We can but marvel at the way in which he is totally bowled over by Delilah. He seems to completely trust her. The devil used a woman to bring Samson right down, especially the tears and the pleas of this woman. We observe her enticements. Her first approach brings us to the sixth verse of the chapter, where Delilah says to Samson, "Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherein thou mightest be bound to afflict thee." And then you'll notice verse 10. Delilah said unto Samson, "Behold, thou hast mocked me, and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound." Look at verse 13. Delilah said to Samson, "Hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound." And he said unto her, "If thou weavest the seven locks of my head with the web." Verse 15, she speaks again, "How canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me?" Of course, that's true. How can you say you love me if your heart's not with me? And this is the argument that she's using to Samson. Now notice verse 16. Mark it carefully. "It came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death." Coming again and again, persistently, and so much so that Samson's soul is vexed. Look at the result. In the next verse, he told her all his heart. "There hath not a razor come upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." Where did it all end? Where's the conclusion? In our text. Look at it in verse 21. "The Philistines took him and put out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza, bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house." And when you go to the end of the chapter, to verse 30, he's got this final cry to God, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. And Samson comes to the finish, the conclusion of his life. Never lose sight of how he started. Never forget it in this story. The purpose of God in his life. We go back to chapter 13 and we look there at the end of the fifth verse. "He shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." This was the purpose of God in the life of this judge, to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Remember how promising this young man was? The things that the Spirit of God informs us about there at the end of that chapter 13, how that this child grew and the Lord blessed him and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times. But this man failed. And he failed miserably. He was sidetracked. He was infatuated. He was so occupied with getting mixed up with the Philistines that he forgot to fight them. And so he began, but he never finished right. I've often thought that there are three stages in the Christian life. There's the commencement, there's the continuation, and there is the conclusion. The commencement is the day that you're brought to Christ savingly and redeemingly, and you start with the Lord. The conclusion, obviously, is those final chapters of your life, those weeks and days before you depart this life. The continuation, by the grace of God, is that in-between part, which for many will be years, often decades. Samson had a good commencement. You have to say that. You think of the godly parents that he had. You think of the upbringing that he had. You think of how the child grew, how God blessed him, the Spirit of God coming upon him. And so there was a good start to this man's life. But he didn't continue so well. Except for one period of his life when he seemed to walk with the Lord and judge Israel. We read about it at the close of chapter 15. He has just slain 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. And look at the concluding verses there, verse 18 of chapter 15. And he was sore athirst and called on the Lord and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised. But God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came forth water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name thereof En Hakkoreh, which is in Lehi unto this day. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. This was the brightest time in the walk of Samson as far as his spiritual standing was concerned. It was a time that probably caused him to have a name among the great heroes of the faith in Hebrews chapter 11. This time we read about him calling upon God in the midst of a time when he was sore athirst. He acknowledges the great deliverance which God had wrought for him. He takes his place as a servant. That's all he was, a servant of God, recognizing that the Philistines were uncircumcised. They were the enemies of the Lord. This is a time of tremendous answer to prayer and the provision of God given to him. And the concluding verse, how that he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. So there was a period in Samson's life when he served God. But Samson came to a sad and a sorry conclusion. I don't know how long his faithfulness lasted, but I do know that Samson's weakness began to manifest itself again. And that was a liking for a Philistine woman. First of all, for a harlot. Chapter 16, the opening three verses, tell us about the harlot. And then Delilah, from verse 4 onwards. Young person, let me emphasize, it's good to begin well. And you have a good start in the Christian life. You come to the Lord. And there's so much in your life that's promising there. And we see the marks of grace early in your Christian life. You see young lives changed. Thrills our hearts. To observe them start so well with determination and zeal for the things of God. To watch them grow and progress in the Christian life. To notice the Holy Spirit beginning to work in their hearts and lives. To see young people getting involved in the work. Getting out to the prayer meeting, going on outreach nights, testifying, and sharing the things of God with others, with love and enthusiasm and concern. But there's a great caution here, a biblical caution, and it's this: take heed lest you fall. You can have a good beginning, But you need to take heed. Thousands have fallen. We could take you to countless cases, young men, young women, who began so well, but they lost out with God and lost out tragically, just like the man we're looking at today. Perhaps they fell in love with the wrong people, and those people led them astray and away from God. Perhaps they stopped confiding in their Christian parents or in the elders of the church who ought to be a guide and a counsel to them. Perhaps they went to places that compromised their Christian witness. They touched things that they ought not to have touched. Don't miss the warning that is written over Samson's life. A young man that began so well but failed to finish the way that he ought to have. The Spirit of God began to move him. He only started, but he ended in tragedy, disgrace, and shame. He had a life for God that commenced with the brightest of hopes, but sadly, he came to a pathetic end. And this is a reality. This really happened in the life of Samson, and it can really happen to you too. Today, as your minister, as the elders of the church, we look at some people, some young people especially, and we're so encouraged by what we see. We see everything that we ought to see as far as a Christian is concerned, the way they ought to walk with God. And we thank God for that young man and for that young woman. The hopes, the potential, the possibilities that there are in their lives. How God could use you. We think about that. And yet, God forbid, in a few short years, we may be lamenting over your sad failure and decline. Maybe there will be reason to weep over your life. Add you onto the prayer list. Ask the people of God to pray for that young person that once had great potential and walked with God, but no longer is that the case. The charge against the church of Sardis is recorded in Revelation 3 and verse 2. Just there at the end of that verse. Chapter 3 and verse 2. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. And you will find that Sardis started so well. A church that could have been commended for so many things. But you didn't finish well. Let us be warned about being merely good beginners, but early finishers. That's what Samson was. How foolish if we fail to take heed to the lessons of Samson's life. You don't want to end up on the scrap heap for God. This man did. I don't want to end up on the scrap heap either. I think of those words of the Apostle Paul when he said, having preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Making shipwreck is a reality. It's happened to so many. Don't let it happen to you. We're thinking here about Samson's finish, the closing weeks and days of his life. We're thinking about where it all finished up for him, the end of the downward steps that he took. Where did it all go? Where did it all end? And so we're thinking about the man who lost out with God. And there's so many things that a man of God stands to lose. Last week, we thought of how he lost the presence of God. Look again at verse 20, where he's told the Philistines be upon thee, and he wakens out of his sleep and he says, I will go out as at other times and shake myself. And he wist not, or he knew not, that the Lord was departed from him, and this was the greatest loss. All the losses that we can possibly mention in his life, this was the greatest.
And this one led to all the other losses that we will mention. God's departure from a man signals his ruin. Must have been a most touching sight to see him saying, "I will go out as at other times and shake myself." And then to hear it added, "He wist not that the Lord was departed from him." Oh, how awful that the Lord should depart from us, and we're aware about it. We know it. We said this last week. Oh, how 10,000 times the greater calamity that the Lord should depart from us, and we're not aware of it. He wist not that the Lord had departed from him. He perceived it not. He was not conscious of it. He was going out to face his enemies, whom he had overthrown many times before by God's help. But he didn't realize that the Lord was not with him. We can't afford not to have the Lord. Never suppose the Lord to be there. Never take it for granted. Never presume. Be able to say, "I know where he is. I'm maintaining my fellowship and my communion with God, and I know that he's with me." That's the place where you ought to be. So we lost God's presence. And then you'll notice that he lost his strength. Look at verse 19. "Delilah made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him." The secret of Samson's strength was in the fact that the Lord was with him. The sign of that, of course, was his hair. You go back again to chapter 13 and notice those last verses. Samson, he grew as a child, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times. And then when you come into this 16th chapter, you see a man who begins to trifle with sin. You want to mark there verse 16 and verse 17. "When it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." Delilah comes between him and God. He broke his consecration to God. With that broken, he lost his strength to serve God. And verse 19 then, he's brought to this place where he's sleeping, and his strength goes from him. A man asleep on the knees of a harlot, brought to weakness by a woman. You see him there sleeping, don't you? And Satan ruins men by rocking them to sleep. He flatters them into a good opinion of their own safety. He makes them think that they have nothing to fear. And then he robs them. He robs them of their strength. And you know there's a word for the unsaved here. Though Sabbath morning generally is a time when we come to speak to God's people, there's always an application along the way for the unsaved that gather with us. And we thank God that you're here, present with us. Well, I'll tell you this, the devil will seek to do the same with you. And he'll put you to sleep in this world. As you listen to the gospel, as you hear all the warnings, the gracious warnings that God has given to you in his word, as you're pleaded with to turn from your sin unto God to be saved, the devil will just rock you to sleep, thinking that all's well, you have plenty of time, whatever it might be, and he lulls you into this slumber. And he's got you there. Very often you die that way without making preparation for the great eternity of God. But as long as you just sleep to the things of God and to those matters that are spiritual, the devil is quite happy. And Christian, remember, when we sleep, our spiritual enemies do not sleep. The devil never sleeps. There's many Delilahs today, things that cause us to sleep. There is the Delilah of complacency. Am I speaking to some Christian here and you are in that state of complacency today? Go to the New Testament. The day before the Lord Jesus was crucified, he's come to the Garden of Gethsemane. He's just about to enter into that great agony of prayer where his soul is troubled and he sweats, as it were, great drops of blood. And as he enters into that garden, he leaves the majority of the disciples at the gate and he brings Peter, James, and John a little farther with him into the garden. He says, I want you to sit here while I go and pray yonder. The Savior goes a stone's throw. He's within sight of the disciples, and undoubtedly they could hear him as he prays. I want you to sit here and I want you to watch with me. Now you know the story, what happened. He came back, and I know the hour was late and they had to battle with physical tiredness, but my, this is a great solemn time for the Savior, and what an agony of prayer he is in. Even just to have watched and to have listened to the Lord would have caused you to sit up and stay awake. But no, the disciples there, they had fallen asleep. They have been lulled into a state of complacency. And that can happen to the Christian today. They couldn't watch with the Lord, not even for 1 hour, said Jesus. There is the Delilah of business. Comes between us and the Lord. So many business matters that need to be taken care of, and as a result, we lose out with God. There is the Delilah of worldly attractions and worldly affections and worldly affairs. I wonder, are you strong today as a Christian? Are you strong to stand for God? You're strong in the battle, because it is a battle in the Christian life. And you're strong in temptation. When temptation comes and the devil seeks to lure you into sin, you're strong to stand for the Lord. I wonder, are you strong in trial? Oh, when problems and troubles overtake you, you're able to stand in the confidence of your God. Or I wonder, have you lost your strength? You're like this man. Samson lost the presence of God. He lost his strength. He lost his vision. Mark it there in verse 21. The Philistines took him and put out his eyes. The Philistines took him when God had departed from him. And the first thing that they did was to put out his eyes, probably by applying fire to his eyes. His eyes would never come again, as perhaps his hair might. And what could strong arms do without eyes to guide them? His eyes were the inlets of his sin. He saw the harlot at Gaza. He went in onto her. And now his punishment is beginning right there with his eyes. With his eyes. His eyes are put out. How terrible it is to lose your vision. Maybe it's the worst sense to lose. I don't know. I've often sat and thought, if you were given a choice about losing one of your senses, what would be the worst one to lose? And maybe it is your eyesight. Putting out eyes was the most cowardly, cruel, and common of ancient customs. There are not many instances in Scripture history, but it was very common in Eastern countries. Many lands, rivals to the throne, had their eyes put out. In Persia, it was not uncommon for a king to punish a rebellious people or district by exacting so many pounds of eyes. The executioners would scoop out the eyes of those that they met until they had the required weight. Sometimes their eyes would be pulled out or cut out. Sometimes a red hot iron was drawn before them. At other times, the pupils were pierced and or taken out whole with the point of a dagger and carried to the king in a basin. And here, the phrase that is used of Samson, put out, is actually the word that means bored out. Many believers have lost their vision. There are two things that the child of God must ever see and never lose sight of. Two things that you must keep your gaze upon. The first one's the Lord. You must never lose sight of Jesus. We need to see Christ. We need to see Him in redemption. That's where it began with us as those who know the Lord. The prophetic word in the Old Testament of the Savior was, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth." We want to look to Christ, the Redeemer of men, that has washed us and cleansed us and redeemed us from all of our sin. And we not only want to see Him in redemption, but we want to see Him in His reigning power. He's on the throne today. Jesus Christ reigns. Isaiah, when God called him in Isaiah 6, he saw the Lord. You remember that? He saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up. He knew that he was on the throne. It was in the year that King Uzziah died. This godly king who had reigned for decades in the land of Israel has now passed away. Very sad time for the nation to lose such a godly man. But Uzziah was shown God still reigns. He's on the throne. Despite what is happening in the kingdom and the loss of the earthly king, God is sitting upon the throne. And we ought to be looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and remembering He is on the throne of eternal glory today. You don't want to lose sight of that. Of the Lord in His redemption, in His reigning power. And I think you want to keep in mind His return. Jesus is coming again. And we ought to be having our eyes upon that. We ought to be looking towards that day, as Paul reminds us, unto them that look for Him. And that's the look of expecting the Lord to come and anticipating the Lord to come. Unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. We ought to be looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, as Titus 2 and 13 tells us. Look up, Jesus says, for redemption draweth near. Never lose sight of Jesus, my friends. And it may be as some of you have. You've lost this vision of the Lord. The other thing that we must never lose sight of, I believe, is the lost. Those that are perishing in their sin all around us. The command is plain. Again, from the lips of the Savior, He says, lift up your eyes and look at the fields that are white and ready to harvest. That's a great missionary text. It's a great evangelical text. It's a text where the Lord wants us to lift up and see something. The harvest field. A great multitude out there, lost in their sin. But our vision has failed. We have failed to see the teeming multitudes all around us. We have failed to see that souls are dying without the Lord. And where there is no vision, the people will perish. We need the eye salve of God to be applied to these eyes of ours, that we might see clearly what the Lord wants us to see. How terrible it is to lose our vision for souls. And that's exactly what the devil wants. He doesn't want you to witness. He doesn't want you to reach out. He doesn't want you to tell others about the Savior. We need to ask for a fresh vision. Lord, let me see. Let me see my neighbors that are in their sin. Let me see this very town, this country, this province, this island, this United Kingdom. and Europe and to the uttermost parts of the world. Lord, open my eyes that I may see the lost. Samson lost his vision in a physical sense, but it's reminding us that we can lose our vision too in a spiritual sense. Don't lose sight of the Lord. Don't lose sight of the lost. Then very quickly, for time is marching on, he lost his liberty. You notice in verse 21 the word bound. The Philistines took him, put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. He is enslaved. It's easy for a man to lose his liberty. I was thinking of that text in Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. It says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." What are you yielding yourselves to today? The devil wants us to give away our liberty. He wants to bind us. He wants to deprive us of our freedom. Well, we need to pray, "Lord, bind the strong man." And the devil doesn't get his way to bind us. But Samson here, he's lost his liberty. And then in verse 21, just quickly, he lost his dignity. He's bound with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. What a sad picture in the closing days of his life. The Philistines took him, they put out his eyes, they bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. And you know, he's just going round and round and round. He's getting nowhere. You certainly see that picture here, don't you? Round and round the corn mill, just round and round, grinding at the prison house, getting nowhere. Here's Samson. How wert thou fallen? How is thine honor laid in the dust? The crown has fallen from his head. Woe unto him, for he has sinned. Let all of us take heed. By this fall, let us carefully preserve our purity and our walk with God. Samson finished on the scrap heap. He got to glory, if we can use this term, by the skin of his teeth. And there is a warning in 1 Corinthians 10 and 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There's not one of us beyond what happened here. However, just as we close, there is a lovely word in verse 22. Samson called unto the Lord. And he said, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee. And strengthen me, I pray thee. Only this once." This is verse 28. "That I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." And now look back at verse 22. "Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again." Amid the suffering of his prison house experience, though bound and blind, the features of the Nazarite ship were beginning to show again. Doubtless sorrow, remorse, and contrition had produced repentance in the heart of Samson. Just right there at the end, that brought him to call again on the Lord. My dear brother, my dear sister, have you failed? Have you sinned? Have you let the Lord down? There's room for recovery. The hair of your head can begin to grow again. A sign of repentance and recovery. And that can be yours as you're brought to that place And I trust it will not be in your dying moments as it was for Samson. But as you're brought to that place of looking afresh to the Lord and that place of repentance and that place of consecration again, where you begin to pray and call upon the name of the Lord, may you get there. If this is a picture of you in any wise, if Samson's life and these downward steps have spoken to you and you can identify with them and you can say, that's me and I've taken those steps or some of those steps, there's recovery for you. You need to get back and call upon the name of the Lord again. May God give you grace to do that. Let us pray. Almighty God, we commit ourselves to Thee in the Word. We thank Thee for the invaluable lessons that we learn from Samson. We know him to be a man of God, a man chosen by God, a man ordained to this office of the judge in his day. We know him to be written among the great heroes of the faith in Hebrews 11. And we know that there was a period in his life when he did walk with God. And yet, Lord, much of the history that we read tells us about the downward steps that he took that eventually led to this final downward step where he's taken by the enemy and he loses all these things that we've spoken about. Lord, save us from falling into the hands of the enemy today. The Philistines that would destroy us, the Delilahs that would bring us down. Oh God, we cry in Jesus' name that we'll keep our eyes on the Lord and keep our eyes on the lost and help us to work for the Lord and serve him faithfully, perseveringly. And may we never come to the conclusion that Samson came to. May our lives not end in shipwreck on the scrap heap for God. Rather, may we always be abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as we know our labor is not in vain in the Lord, hear this our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.